Dear fellow worshipers, dear fellow worshipers of our living Lord and Savior, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. There are certain things that we encounter in life that sting us, sometimes deeply. If a young person does poorly on a very important test, that stings. If a person gets fired from their job, especially their dream job, that stings. If someone we love ends up rejecting us, that stings. But nothing stings us as deeply as death. Ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against the Lord their God, nothing has been the same. Their rebellion, their sin, unleashed death upon the entire human race. From that moment on, sin reigned over all people without mercy. Death hangs over us now like a shroud that is suffocating us. Death is a constant source of sorrow and pain in our lives. Death doesn't just bring life to an end, but for many people, it haunts their life right up to the very end. All of that changed, however. All of that changed the moment our risen Lord and Savior victoriously stepped out of his tomb on that first Easter Sunday. From that point forward, life, true life, eternal life, was unleashed for all human beings. From that point forward, life, true life, will reign supreme until death and all of its effects are completely erased. The victory march of life has begun, and there is nothing that death can do to stop it. Even as death appears to reign over us human beings, even as death continues to separate us from our loved ones, even as we continue to wipe the tears that death brings to our eyes, Easter gives us this assurance. Because he lives, death has lost its sting. Our sermon text for this glorious Easter Sunday comes from the great resurrection chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul proclaims to us on this glorious Easter Sunday, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The joy and the confidence contained in these words are completely off the scale. How could Paul be so joyful? How could Paul be so confident? It all begins with what Paul tells us at the beginning of the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 9, Paul lists six separate times when the risen Christ appeared to various individuals, when the risen Christ appeared to various groups of individuals. Why? Why did Jesus do this? Because he wanted to prove to everyone, that the same Jesus who was nailed to the cross on Calvary's hill is the same Jesus who victoriously rose from the dead. Paul then goes on to remind the Corinthians, and he reminds us, that the entire Christian faith, yes, the entire Christian faith, stands or falls on the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Do you remember the very next verse? Paul goes on with that joy and that confidence and says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Here in our text, Paul expands upon the words, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. With these words, Paul wants us to know that the glory of Easter Sunday will be experienced by all Christians, both those who have fallen asleep, those who have died before Jesus returns to this earth, as well as those who are still alive when our risen Lord and Savior returns to this earth in all of his power and majesty and glory. Look once again at verses 51 to 53 of our text. Paul writes, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Just as Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday it's a mystery to our limited logical minds, so also the physical transformation, the physical change that we will most certainly experience when Jesus returns to this earth is a mystery to us. What we do know, what we have no hesitation about whatsoever, is this. These weak, perishable, mortal bodies that we have now will be glorified. They will be glorified in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. This portion of our text reminded me of what God the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul proclaim to us in Philippians chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Picture that in your mind, my friends. Easter both guarantees to us and previews for us that our glorified body will be imperishable and immortal. Easter guarantees to us and previews for us that our glorified body will never be able to perish, no matter what force is brought against it. Easter guarantees to us and previews for us that our glorified body will never, ever be able to die, not from age, not from illness, not from disease, not from anything. Easter both guarantees to us and previews for us that our glorified body will be indestructible for all of eternity. That's what the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's what Easter Sunday guarantees to us and previews for us. When all of that takes place, and it will most certainly take place, Paul says, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Let that picture sink into your heart and into your mind. Easter guarantees to us that on Judgment Day, our victorious Savior will swallow up death forever. This means that for everyone who believes and trusts in Jesus as their risen Lord and Savior, death will become extinct. That joyful and confident truth enables us to say with Paul, excuse me, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Here's where we got our sermon theme for today. Because he lives, death has lost its sting. Go back to Good Friday for just a moment. Why did the Son of God cry out in agony of soul, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know the awful answer to that question. The Son of God was forsaken by his heavenly Father, because he willingly took all the sins of all people, including all of your sins and including all of my sins, he took all the sins of all people upon himself. This resulted in the Son becoming so disgusting in the eyes of his heavenly Father that the Father had to turn away from him. The Father forsook his only Son. Now ask yourself, why did the Son of God victoriously cry out from the cross, "It is finished. I have reached my goal"? You know the awesome answer to that question. Because his holy, precious, innocent blood completely pays for all the sins of all people, including all of your sins, including all of mine. Now connect the dots here, my friends. The sting of death is sin. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees to us that our sins have been taken away as far as the east is from the west. This means because he lives, death has lost its sting. How does that glorious truth, how does the glorious truth of Easter become our personal possession? The Holy Spirit has Paul answer that question in the closing words of our text. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice very carefully, my friends, that there is nothing that we need to do. There is nothing that we can do to make the Easter victory of Jesus our own personal Easter victory. God gives us the Easter victory of his Son purely by grace through faith in what Jesus has done for us. As we continue our journey here on this earth, there are going to be things that continue to sting us in a variety of ways. Failure stings us. Rejection stings us, but Easter guarantees to us that while we might still feel the sting of death when we are attending the funeral of a loved one, that sting is only temporary. The sting of death disappears when we focus on the truth that we are here to celebrate today. He is risen.
He is risen.
Alleluia. To God be the glory. Amen. We will now join together in bringing our Easter offering to our risen Lord.